Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Cody, I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since March 8, 2008. And, as y'all can imagine, I've never done this before. And I'm pretty nervous. Actually, I passed up nervous about 3 o'clock today. I don't know what I am right now. So, but, you know, y'all taught me to suit up and show up and leave the results up to God. So that's why I'm here tonight. Thank you for the board and all y'all being here and having me tonight. And I appreciate y'all not serving ice cream before I talk. So, because I know my wife and sponsor would be here, but I don't know anybody else. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm here tonight to talk about what I believe and what I know is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's the 12 steps. That's the program. The fellowship and all this other good stuff is good, and we need it. But the program is the 12 steps. At least that's what I've been taught. And I'm just going to share with you tonight my experiences with steps 1, 2, and 3. It's not a book study. That's why you got sponsors. And I'm nowhere near to tell y'all how to do this. I'm just going to share you what I did and what I do today and how these steps affect my life. And that's all I know. And I own that. And I think that's what we got to do is we got to own it. You got to own your sobriety and own your story. And, you know, like it tells us in the family afterwards, our past one day will be our greatest treasures. And we're able to help somebody else. And, you know, I pray to God that if I can just help one person tonight, then that's what, you know, that's good. And if it's His will for me to help more than that, well, that's the icing on the cake. So, for you guys that don't know me, I'll qualify myself, or you can talk to me for about 5 minutes and you'll know I belong here. Because I act like an alcoholic even though I don't drink anymore. You know, and one thing I love about Alcoholics Anonymous, it's all inclusive. Here we have a classy lady, French-Canadian, and now you got an East Texas country boy up here. And my dogs eat dry food. And I got a lab and a healer, and they play all day long outside. They are up on their shots, though, I'll tell you that. That's the way I was raised. I don't know. Again, my name's Cody. I grew up in Trinity, Texas. That's a little town in East Texas. When I left there in eighth grade, population was about 2,500 people. We had 2 stoplights. If you're from East Texas, that's how you tell people how big your town is, by how many stoplights you got. We had 2. Actually, one was a caution. You know, all that traffic. They had to keep it flowing, right? My mom and daddy weren't alcoholics. They did the best they could with what they had. And, you know, I love them for that. I don't agree with it, but y'all have taught me to forgive them for that. And you know what? It is what it is. They didn't get me here. I got myself here. You know, I grew up, I had everything I ever wanted. I had a bicycle, I had a pellet gun, I had a football and a baseball glove. What else is there to want? I mean, then women came, right? So, which, you know, still wish I had a pellet gun sometimes on that. I, My family, though, you know, it was like living in a snake pit sometimes, though. My dad was a hard-working man, and I respect him for that. And they taught me to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and thank you, and please. And, you know, we said grace, and we even had a picture of him up on the wall praying over a piece of bread loaf. I'm sure y'all have seen that picture. I don't know, maybe not. But it wasn't spiritual in my house, I'll tell you that. My granddad was a violent alcoholic, my dad's dad. And he had an alcoholic brother. And on my mom's side, she was the youngest of nine. And, you know, we don't judge. I judge no man. But four out of five, they'd probably be here tonight, too, out of that group of nine. So I grew up around alcohol. It wasn't in my immediate family, but you know, we're country folk. We get together and have, you know, family gatherings and holidays and stuff like that. And you know, I've seen many a time where my dad's grabbed my uncle and asked him nicely out the door because he was drinking in his house and acting the way he was. You know, my dad, he worked for the prison system, and he's pretty tough. He's pretty tough. And you know, he brought his job home a lot of times, but anyways, it is what it is. I was primarily raised by my grandmother, Cassie Johnson. And she dipped Garrett powder snuff. And depending on what kind of day she wanted to have is which end of the spoon she used in the morning to get her snuff out. And she talked about God a lot, but she never went to church. And that confused me. And she was good as gold, man. And I love that woman. And I know she can see me tonight, but I sure wish she was here. You know, but it is what it is, right? You know, I grew up good. I played baseball since I can remember. God gave me talents where I was a good athlete. I grew up on the other side of the tracks, as they say, I played on teams that a lot of other little white boys didn't play on, and that's just the way I grew up. My family, you know, I thought we were rich, but by today's standards, we were, you know, there's poor and there's middle class. We were right somewhere in between there, I think. But I didn't realize that. And I grew up around great athletes, and I played hard. And in seventh grade, I got to put a football helmet on and run full speed into another guy and knock the snot out of him and loved it. And wanted to do it again. That was my first taste of insanity. And I did that for a long time. I was blessed to go to, the only way I could go to college. And I was fortunate enough where I got a scholarship to go to college. I didn't finish college, but I got a chance to go and play ball. And, you know, it seems that when I was done throwing touchdown passes, they didn't want me to come back no more. So I guess it worked out good for both of us. I didn't come tonight to really talk about all that. I didn't come here to tell my story. I come here to talk about the steps. I just wanted give y'all a little bit about, you know, it was dysfunctional, you know, the way I grew up. And I've heard, you know, probably because I was in it, you know, but it is what it is. But, I want to get right into it. What happened? You know, strength, hope, and experience. I mean, I can't talk to you about my beliefs. I have to tell you about my experiences. Because if I tell you about my beliefs, we're all screwed. You know? And especially me. Because y'all probably work a better program than I do. So, went through college, played ball. Football was my first love. So it kept me from crossing that imaginary line. Because I had I had commitments. I had commitments, you know. I had to be drug tested. I had to show up, suit up, and show up. And so that kept me from... I don't know when I became an alcoholic, and I don't know if it really matters. I'm here, and I got here, and it took what it took for me to get here. It all, from what I can remember, when I think I crossed that line was in 2000, and I moved from Abilene, Texas, back to Houston, Texas. And wow, little boy in a big city, and it ate me up. And I couldn't play ball anymore, and that was my identity for a long time. And parents had divorced by then. They were scattered everywhere. Man, I found alcohol. I'd found it before, but it grabbed a hold of me, man. And I loved it. And I like the taste, the effect. I like it all. Whatever you got, I want two of them, you know. And then I found things that could help me drink longer and more. And, man, those grabbed a hold of me. I like to do anything and everything to the extreme. And, you know, I couldn't tell you when I started drinking how the night was going. And sometimes I really like that effect about it, you know. That I looked forward to that. And a lot of times I went out for the purpose of getting drunk. But then sometimes I didn't. And it ended up there anyways. You know, and I couldn't explain that. And I, man, from 2000 to 2006, I went hard, man. I went hard and fast. And on October 14, 2006, I met my wife. And I've talked to her every day since then. And I love this woman. And I loved her then. And I love her more now. And see, she got me, though, man, because when I met her, she didn't tell me about Savannah and Lorelai. And Savannah was 7, and Lorelai was 2. And with a name like Lorelai, you can only imagine how cute this little girl is. She is an angel. They both are. And I love them like they're mine, and they are mine now. But then, you know, they weren't. But they were going to fix me. They were going to fix me. And I tricked this woman into marrying me. A year later. Now I know I didn't because she works a good program on the other side. Which was a big relief. But I'm not working her program, believe me. I learned that real quick. We got married. Built a big, beautiful home in Katy, Texas. She was living in College Station with the girls. Moved them down, uprooted them, you know, like a good alcoholic. Promised them the world and gave them the world for a while. And see, while I was courting her, she lived in College Station and I lived in Houston, and she just didn't realize how much drinking I was really doing and everything else I was doing. I could hide it. But when you're sleeping next to somebody and you see them every morning, and yeah, husbands don't have anywhere to go, and thank God for it. Because I got nowhere else to go, man. She going to get half anyway. So, you know. So she'll get probably more than that. She deserves it. But anyways, I couldn't hold it together. Couldn't hold it together. We got married 9-7 of 08. And... by December, man, it was bad. It got bad. And 6 months to the day I was married, we had plans that we were going to celebrate our half-year anniversary, right? And I was going to come home, pick the girls up, take my wife to dinner and all that. Well, I thought it was a good idea to have some drinks at lunch. And I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to do a fifth step tonight. But long story short, I didn't get home. And when I did get home, they were gone. I had forced this woman and these little girls that were helpless to leave. I had turned their world upside down because of my drinking and other things I was doing. And man, I swear to God to you, every time I told them I wouldn't do it again or I was sorry, I meant it. I meant it from the bottom of my heart. But I knew in the back of my head it was going to happen again sooner than later. And she left. And you know, when I knew, I woke up that next morning, it was a Saturday morning, and let me tell you how sick I was. My wife, my girls just left, and the first thing I thought about was, I'm going to do that all over again tonight. They're not here. That's sick. That's insane. That is the disease of alcoholism, the way I know it. And then I got sick. I got violently sick. And I went to get on my knees, and I went from my knees to my belly, and I said, God, take it, my life from me, or by God, help me. And I don't believe you'll do either one of them. And that was a prayer. And I stayed sick for 2 days where I couldn't leave the house or get out of bed. And I know now that was God doing for me for what I couldn't do for myself, because if I could have walked out of that door, I was going to go back and do what I had done before. And I would have died, or I'd have killed somebody, or my wife and my child and my girls would not have come back. And I believe that. So the following Monday, I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting at noon, right around the corner from where I worked, right next to the place I used to go drink during lunch. And all I heard that night or that day was the first line of how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. I was tired of failing, man. It's all I knew. I'd went from a winner, winning ball games, doing all that, doing what I was supposed to do, to being a slave to alcohol and drugs. It put a whipping on me like no boy's ever done. Because I can recover from that. I can rest up. I can ice up. But this one, I couldn't, man. I couldn't. And it whipped me. But I heard that. And I said, and I didn't have anything else to go on besides that. I just knew. I'm not going to lie to you. I wanted to drink again. I just wanted to stop hurting. I just wanted to stop hurting my wife and hurting these girls. You know? And that's what got me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm proud to say that. It takes what it takes. That's not what it has kept me here, because the program of Alcoholics Anonymous took over. But that's what got me in the doors here. Because I was tired of being a punk. I was an animal, man. When I put alcohol and drugs in me, where I'm from, you either cage that up or you put a bullet in his head. And I deserved both. And I was bad, man. But I had to be that way. I had to be. You know, y'all told me, oh, it's the gift of desperation. Yeah, I got your gift. You drank like I drank. You know, you got sober. You've been sober as long as I live. They didn't even have stuff back then what we got now. You know. How are you relating to me? And that just shows that I didn't know anything. And today I still don't know anything. And don't want to know. Because the day I figured it out, the day I'm in real trouble. And y'all are in trouble. Because I'm going to take over the world. So I started going to meetings. Started going to meetings on an everyday basis. And, you know, I'd see the steps on the wall and all that. And like I said, man, I wasn't ready to quit drinking. I just wanted to quit hurting. And I got a sponsor. You know, I got a sponsor. And if you're new, get a sponsor who has a sponsor that has worked these steps with the sponsor. Don't get your buddy sitting beside you in the meeting that's got 2 days more than you. That's just my experience. So I tried it. It wasn't working. It wasn't working. So, step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I knew that when I got here. I knew when I put alcohol in me, it changed me. Now, admitting it was something different. Like I said, my dad was a hard-working man, and I didn't grow up admitting things were wrong. That's just the way I grew up. Don't make it wrong, don't make it right. That's just my experience. But, man, I kept going back to that first sentence, you know, followed our path. And that's what y'all had all done. And I thought, well, you know, man, I guess I can lie about it and say, yeah, I'm powerless. But I, for whatever reason, and I know now it was God working in my life, I knew I was. And the unmanageability, I was crazy, man. For whatever reason, I still had the same... Well, I know the reason I still had the same job, because I was doing things illegally for my boss, who... You know, and things like that, and so they kept me on, you know, but it was all crazy, man. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. And if y'all wanted to call it powerless, if y'all wanted to call it unmanageability, I was okay with that. I just knew that I couldn't continue to do what I was doing. Or, I was all out of tokens. I was all out of tokens, man. Something really bad was really about to happen. I felt defeated for the very first time in my life. Truly, truly defeated. And I was ruining my life. I was ruining my wife's life. I was ruining these girls' life. I couldn't stop on my own, because I tried many, many times. And if I had one word to describe step one, that'd be willingness. For whatever reason, I was willing to admit it. Even though I may not believed it 100%, I've heard fake it till you make it, and I was doing that. But y'all just told me just keep coming back, you know, just keep coming back. And I can't describe to you that feeling. I don't have the vocabulary. Only you know how that feels by going through it, by walking through that, by feeling that like you're a dead man walking, by looking in the mirror and hating the reflection back at you, by wanting... See, I wanted to strangle myself. I wanted to make it personal. I wanted to get real close and put my hands around my own neck for what I was doing. And, man, I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. I couldn't do it anymore. And when I got here and I would listen, you know, at meetings, and y'all talked the way I felt. Like I knew y'all had experienced the things that I experienced. You know, because you can't make that up. Unless you've done it. Unless you've done those crazy things and felt that way, because I don't think any of us have the vocabulary. And I've come to realize that in Alcoholics Anonymous, and Al and I, we speak the language of the heart. Because we do talk about our experiences. We don't talk about our beliefs, or we shouldn't. You know, it's principles before personalities. And so I could relate. I could really relate. I just hung on, man. I just hung on. There were mornings I'd get up and get dressed, and I couldn't make it out of the bathroom. I'd just start crying and stuff. because I hated myself so bad, man. And I just wanted to die. And I wanted to drink. I wanted to drink. And I just knew I couldn't. For whatever reason, at this time, I couldn't anymore. And I was just willing to just keep going back and sit through those hour meetings and just... I just wanted to die, man. I wish I could explain it to you better, but I think you know what I'm talking about, or you wouldn't be here. And then with 60 days sobriety, I got bamboozled into going to a men's conference called Man to Man in Brownwood, Texas. Now here I am. 60 days sober, wanting to drink so bad my toenails are going to fall off. And you're going to tell me I'm going to go out with 300 men near a lake and we ain't going to smoke dope or drink beer? And there's a dance on Saturday night? Right. Uh-huh. Not this boy. I'm just fine right here suffering. I'll just go to my meetings. And I had a plan. I was going to go to this conference. And I was going to drink when I got home. Because I was going to go out there and have such a bad, miserable time that I was going to come back and tell my wife, who was still leaving me, that this thing didn't work. And I was going to show y'all it didn't work. Because I was going to go be a bump on a log, buddy. And I drove my own car just in case I needed to leave in the middle of the night. I'm serious now. I'm not lying. Because Brownwood ain't too far from Abilene. And I did a lot of drinking in Abilene. So I was going to Abilene. You know? And so I went. And saved my life. I met men out there that worked this program. And a lot of them are here tonight. And they talked about how much they love their wives. And they shared their stories with me about what they used to do. And I was like, wow, I had never even thought about that. Damn, that sounds good. And then they shared things with me that I did. And I sat out on a bench with these two old boys from Fort Worth area. And I talked to these two old boys at roughly my age for well over an hour, and I didn't even know their name. But we talked the same thing, man. And they shared with me what they used to do and what they were doing now. And I could not believe that they weren't drinking. I couldn't believe it. But I knew they weren't lying to me because, like I said earlier, you can't make that stuff up. And something happened to me out there. Something happened to me out there. I made friends. I got friends in Austin. I got friends in Colorado. I got friends in AA capital of the world, Lake Whitney. I got friends in Houston. I got friends in California. And you know, Matthew spoke that weekend. And it changed my life. My wife says I come back a different man. And I know I did. And for me, that was step two. I mean, I can't explain to you what happened to me, but it was a lot bigger than I was. It was a whole lot bigger than I was. And for a fleeting moment, I knew I didn't ever have to drink again if I didn't want to. And if I just did what these men from all walks of life were doing, and they were happy, and they loved their wives, and they love their kids. And they all started where I started. On their bellies coming in here. And I had all these examples, living examples in front of me. And I came to believe that a power was greater than myself. And for a long, long time, man, that was AA. That was AA. Because I could touch it, I could see it, I could feel it, I could taste it. You know? And I saw it working. I saw it working. And it was bigger than me. And it wasn't a doorknob, and it wasn't a tree, and all these other things, you crazy stuff you hear, you know? And it just amazes me. Anyways, it was the real deal. It was working. It was working. And I came back y'all told me out there, I don't care what you think, I don't care how you feel, but I care about what you do. And that means let's go to work. Let's go to work. Let's your feet are gonna get you sober. About that same time, man, a buddy of mine from a men's group I go to on Saturday mornings from time to time introduced me to Chapter 9 meeting on a Saturday night. And it's in the big book, and that's family afterwards. And we go there religiously. And my kids, that's their meeting. And when we don't want to go, they do. And guess what? We go. And you sit in a meeting with your wife. And you talk about what's really going on, and it's the real deal. It's the real deal, and that helped me too believe, you know, all these little vehicles, all these little things that God was giving me. Okay, here, big boy, look, this is working. Because, like, for instance, the Chapter 9 meeting, man, my house was getting better, my family was getting better, my house was safe. You know, people didn't walk around on eggshells because Doughy's home. You know, dogs didn't run and hide. You know, I came home after work. I got up and I went to work and I came home after work because that's what y'all told me to do. And then I went to a meeting. You just got to follow directions. And that was hard for me. It still is. That's my sponsor. And, you know, it just something was bigger than me. And I didn't know what that was. And then it happened. My home group is Copperfield Wilderness Monday night group. It's a men's meeting in Cypress, Texas. If you're ever in Houston, please come by. It's the best meeting in town. And if you don't believe that about your home group, I suggest you get another one. And these old boys are rough. But they work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, they picked on me. They made me do things like read How It Works for the first over a year. Every Monday night. And I'll tell you what, I will fight you over How It Works. And then it broke my heart when they told me, you don't get to read it anymore. Well, what do you mean I don't get to read it anymore? Well, that young man over there that's got 30 days needs to read it now. And that's the way we do it there. That's the way we do it there. But my point is there was a man there named Steve W. And Steve was at my first meeting. Steve loved Alcoholics Anonymous, man. I mean, he just oozed out of him. He was always happy. The only bad thing about him is he liked the Cowboys, you know. But he liked the horns too, so we was all right, right? And Steve had a couple years, and he just loved Alcoholics Anonymous. And I hadn't seen Steve for a couple of weeks. And one Monday night, Steve showed back up. And at this meeting, we don't take volunteers. And the man was leading the meeting. Called on Steve, and Steve went to share. Steve just found out a couple hours ago that Steve had terminal cancer. Steve was going to die, and the first place he came was Alcoholics Anonymous. He came to his Monday night meeting because he knew that was a safe place. Now, here was a man that had just been told he was going to die, and he came to Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. What is that? That ain't none of us in here. And how did that guy lead? Nobody knew. How did that guy lead the meeting note to call on Steve? He didn't. That was God working. And Steve has now went to the big meeting in the sky. He's passed. And he taught me a lot about God. Just by what he did, his actions. Not about what he said. Because he kept coming back. And you know, when he died, man, he died peacefully and he died sober. And I know Steve's in heaven today because of Alcoholics Anonymous and people like you. And so that's when I got my God. Now, mind you, I'd already worked through the steps when this happened. So my point is we got to continue working these things all the time, man. We don't graduate. And thank God we don't. Because the world would not be a safe place. And, you know, it's safer now that we're all here tonight. But, you know, it's still pretty rough. But, you know, things happen to me today that, you know, I might have done them a long time ago, but I see them working now and stuff, and I can't explain that. I don't know why, you know, and I don't want to know why. You know, I keep coming back here because of the things that continue to happen to me. And when you work these steps, it's like taking a bath on the inside. You get to clean out all that junk. You get a chance to start over. You get a chance to be the man or the woman that you've always wanted to be, and you get a chance to be the man or the woman that God wants you to be. You got a fighting chance because, like you told me, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. We is me. And for the first time in my life, I got to get my own God. And, you know, I wasn't for sure if I had worked step one and two, but I know I've worked step three because I got down on my hands and knees with another man and I held his hand and we said that prayer. We said that third step prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self. And I know I've done that step. You can't take that away. I own that. And when you make a decision, action comes after a decision. Or at least it's supposed to. And, you know, step three for me was all about trust. And I don't trust I'm working on that. And it was, here I am, big boy. Come on. I'll take care of you. I got you. And you know, if you've worked step one and you've done two, you'd be crazy not to do three. And you know, and I contemplated that. I mean, you know, it was a way to help me get me out of myself, man. And you know, at the same time, when I did that prayer with my sponsor, and I thought, well, that's it, man. I'm good to go now. I done turned it over. You know, the next day was the worst day of my sobriety. It was. It really was. And I called my sponsor and was like, what's this crap? You know, I got down on my hands and knees with another man, which made me very uncomfortable. Said a prayer. I had never prayed with anybody before. And here I am having a bad day. What is this all about? And like my wife's sponsor says, why don't we trust God just one more time? And, you know, before I go on, I want to really say thank you to all the Al-Anons that are here. I love you. You're the only ones that don't leave us. And in my house, both programs are worked like both of our lives depends on it. And they run parallel. And if you stand in the middle of a railroad track and you look way down there, they come together. And I believe that. That's the way I've been raised in AA. And so I take offense to Al-Anon jokes. And I will tell you about it. I know I only got 2.5 years, but by God, I've worked these steps. I've earned my seat. You know, step three, made a decision. My life depended on this. I had to. I had to jump in. That trust, that blind faith, whatever you want to call it, man. I did it, and I still do it every day. I still do it every day. I have to, every morning. Some mornings all I can say is please and thank you at night. That's all I got. You know, my prayers get about this high. And then some mornings, boy, I sound like Jimmy Swaggart out there, you know. I think there was a tabernacle going on up in my bedroom. You know, snakes and everything else, old. You know, but anyways, it just, you know. Y'all can tell I'm getting comfortable, right? So, this is pretty cool. Just think, one more drink, and I could have missed all this. And all these one sayings are all from Mac B, so I can't take ownership of them. Step three hit me between the eyes, though, in 09. I'm in the oil and gas industry, and I live in Houston, Texas, and I provide well for my family because that's the way I was raised to. And I work hard. And the end of 08 came and 09 came. And I made 52% less in 09 than I did in 08. My bills stayed the same. So you do the math. There were months where we're going to feed these babies or we're going to pay the mortgage. Well, we're going to feed these babies. They can come get this house. And I fought it tooth and nail. Because giving over to God sometimes is like me and him playing tug of war. And he don't want to play. So I'm just pulling. And he ain't pulling back. Because see, he gives me enough free will to kill myself. Because that's what I was doing before I got here. See? And we're in bad shape, like a lot of, I'm sure a lot of us sitting in here was, you know. And you know, we sold the cars, we cut coupons. Actually, we went to living like I grew up. Only difference is we wasn't in a single wide trailer house on 2 acres. So I was, you know. But no, all kidding aside, it was bad. It was bad. And there wasn't no, you know, I didn't know if it was going to turn around. You know, nobody did. You know, and put this home that I'd built up for sale. I'd never had a home. And I built this home. And I worked my tail off of this home, and it was, I loved it. I still do. And, you know, I fought my wife tooth and nail, boy. And I fought God tooth and nail because I wasn't going to give up at home. Because in my mind, a real man can provide for his family. And you go out and you work and you, I don't care if you got to work three jobs, you get it done. And here I was sober. I was working harder and more hours than I'd ever done, you know, before. I was doing what y'all were telling me to do, and this is all I got. I'm failing. Really? This is what you got for me. And I went into work. I've been with this company 10 years. And I went into work, and the president called me in his office and asked me how I was doing. And like a good alcoholic, I lied. I told him I'm doing just fine. He said, "Really?" "Yes, sir." "Okay." It was on a Friday. We didn't have the money to buy groceries. You know. And here I was, man, fighting. Couldn't give it up. It's that ego, that pride. You know, all those good character qualities that I came here with, you know. And I was willing to do about anything not to lose, because I felt like I was losing. And you know, as well as being my sponsor, he's also my financial advisor. And you know, I'm not ashamed to admit, sometimes my wife and I can't really agree upon when it comes to money and talking. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon, we have a couple that we can go and see and discuss it, and it's a safe place, and we can figure it out. And there are both our sponsors, and they just happen to be married. It works for us. And so, we put the house on the market. And, man, every time I drive home after working my tail off that day and not getting it, losing every day, giving stuff away. And there's a for sale sign in my front yard. I got to clean my bedroom so another person can come and look at my house. You talking about mad? I was mad. A couple weeks later, that same man, my president of my company, called me in his office and goes, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." Just like I used to lie to y'all when I first came in here, right? You know, he said, "Really?" Because I've looked at the numbers. You're down 52%. I went from number one salesman to the bottom. Sober. Working the steps. Helping others. Going to meetings. All this, at the time, I thought, crap, to be honest with you. A man cut me a check that day. Paid all my back owing on my house. And paid for... paid for my home for a year. And gave me a raise. Just told me to keep doing what I was doing. It'd all work out. Keep coming back. I need you. Three months ago, I started paying that man back. I get a chance to pay that man back. He gave me a time period, and I told him I'd pay him in half that time. And that's all because of y'all. It's all because I trusted y'all. And I trust these steps. Alcoholism took all my dreams. It stole them like a thief in the night. Alcoholics Anonymous has given those back to me and much more. Man, this thing works. I don't know how. We read it every meeting. And we still don't know. And I think that's all by design. You know, man, my life today, you wouldn't believe me if I told you how good it is. Those little girls are now 5 and started kindergarten this year, and Savannah's 11 and started 6th grade, and they're mine. They're mine. They trust me. I am where I say I'm going to be. I do what I say I'm going to do. And they know Doughy. They call me Doughy. Everybody in the neighborhood calls me Doughy. And I will answer to it, so... I like to think of it half dad, half Cody. You know, I just wanted to stop hurting, and I did. And it got different, and then it got better. You know, and different don't mean bad; it's just different. And you know, man, I've met great friends in here. You know, guys, I trust. You know, guys, I trust, man, and I get to see it. That's why I go to meetings and stuff. I see it at home. You know, I see it at work. I'm back to number one at work now. And every category you could think of, buddy. And you know, Katie barred the door on that. And you know, three years ago, man, that man don't call me in his office to give me a raise and pay my mortgage. He calls me and let me go. And you know, 3 years ago, I'm not married. 3 years ago, I don't get to see these girls grow up, man, and you know. You want to see God? I see Him every day I get home. Some days that's all I got to keep sober. Because I am an alcoholic and I'm always going to be an alcoholic. And I pray to God every morning that I remember that. And I never forget that. Because the day I forget it is the day I die. Because if I go back and drink, I die. I'm all out of tokens. I'm all out of tokens. I know we're going to serve ice cream, and I'm looking forward to it just as much as y'all are. But I want to read y'all one thing, and I'm going to end with this. And I read this every morning. It's on page 521 in fourth edition. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous in good standing. I learned how to be a good AA member by watching good AA members and doing what they do. I learned how to have a good marriage by watching people with good marriages and doing what they do. I learned how to be a parent by watching good parents and doing what they do. And I finally have the freedom of believing that it is all right not to know. God bless y'all. Thank y'all.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.